Hi, my name is Kirk Kinder, and this is Saving Yourself from Wall Street, the podcast for people who want to avoid Wall Street's sales tactics, high cost, and conflicted advice so they can take control of their financial life. So let's get to it.
What we're going to talk about today is what everybody's talking about, the coronavirus and its implications on the market. Now, first, let me apologize. I'm traveling today and I don't have my Blue Ice speaker. So this is basically coming straight through the computer. So I'm hoping my trusty HP will provide some decent audio. I know it's not going to be as good as usual, but I do apologize. But anyway, let's get to the topic at hand, which everyone is talking about. The stock market crash due to the coronavirus. So what's the reality here? What's really going on? And how should you react? Well, the thing you have to start with, the reason I think that there's so much market movement around the coronavirus, it isn't just the virus itself. If you start to look at the virus, it is going to probably spread quite rapidly and broadly, much more than we've seen. And in fact, I've even read things like once China starts going back to work, going back to school, you know, the areas that they've quarantined in China, once these people start functioning again together, you're going to see it spread there again. So it's something that's it's probably going to spread. But if you take the focus that you have a 98% or better chance of getting through it, unless you're elderly with some sort of respiratory condition. So yeah, if you're over 70 and have some issues, it is something to be alarmed about. But for the rest of the populace, pretty much 98% of them are going to be fine. And your body will build up an immunity to it. But it's definitely something that's probably going to be around for a while. So is that enough to make the market crash? I mean, it essentially is going to be kind of like the flu. It's going to be something that's around and it might be around for a few years and show up. So is that something to crash markets? Well, yes and no, I guess. Yes, it's clearly disrupting the economic activity of the country. But what I think is what we had before the coronavirus really became a big issue was the most expensive stock market in history. And if you look at certain metrics, that's exactly what we've had. If you go back and you look at price of the market relative to sales of the companies within the market, if you look at the market cap of the stock exchange relative to the size of the economy, gross domestic product, so market cap to GDP, which is Warren Buffett's favorite metric to see about overvalued markets. If you look at enterprise value divided by earnings before interest, taxes, and depreciation, a lot of these factors right now, this market before the coronavirus was the most expensive in history. Now, some people argue that it wasn't. They might look at price to earnings. Now, granted, on a price to earnings basis, the market was more expensive in the year 2000 and possibly in 1929, but we weren't too far off of that anyway. We were in the top 4% historically as far as the price to earnings of this market. So what you're doing is you're taking a market that is priced to absolute perfection. I mean, there was really no room for any kind of error to keep the market at those elevated levels. And now you throw in what they call a black swan. So black swan was a term coined by Nassim Taleb. And what it meant was in Europe, they never thought that it was possible to have a black swan. Swans were always white. Because that's all they'd ever seen was white swans. And then they went down to Australia, and what did they see? They saw a black swan. So something they thought that wasn't possible became possible. And that's kind of what happened here. So a black swan is something that nobody is really expecting is possible. So who would have thought even 2-3 months ago that essentially a virus that, you know, kind of a flu-like virus would bring down the stock markets? Nobody. Nobody saw it coming, really. Nobody really thought, you know, it was completely out of left field. It was a true black swan. So, you know, what does that do? Well, the thing you have to remember about expensive markets and valuations, everything like that, valuations don't tell you anything about near-term movements. They do tell you longer term. And if you want some more information on this, I did a podcast a little while ago, about 4 weeks ago, where I talked about valuations and what people should expect from the markets going forward over the next 7 to 10 years. And I talked about different valuation metrics and people who have developed some certain algorithms to determine this stuff. And really, you know, it's pretty dire. We're talking anywhere from negative 2% return on U.S. stocks to at best 2.8% over the next 7 to 10 years. I mean, that's not very good. So again, when you have a market priced to perfection, and then you have an event that clearly is going to slow economic growth, it hit the supply chains when China couldn't deliver products, but it's also going to hit travel. It's going to hit restaurants. It's going to hit anything that is dealing with kind of social events. So if you start to take that out of it, now you have waiters and waitresses either with lower incomes or getting laid off, or people that run events, event planning, or cruise ships, or airlines. All of these folks now are going to see lower earnings. What does that do? How does it manifest itself? Along with the fact that we're going to have supply chains that are disrupted. And if they get to the point where we're literally quarantined cities, kind of like they've started to do in New Rochelle in New York, if they start doing that nationwide where people aren't going out at all, what's that going to do to the economy? It's going to absolutely decimate economic growth in the short term. And when, again, market price perfection, and all of a sudden economic growth slows, you've got a problem. You've got an issue there. Now, the market got to its overvaluation mostly because we've had such liquidity being forced into the markets from the Federal Reserve. Starting all the way back in 08, they started to drop rates, interest rates so low, which injected liquidity into all the markets, bond markets, stock markets, real estate. Everything has been lifted because of ample liquidity. So the Fed has been keeping the market from having any kind of downturn. Anytime the market would start to pull back a little bit, the Fed would provide some sort of cushion. They would either lower rates, they'd start quantitative easing, they would do whatever it took to keep the market from declining. And the problem is, you can't do that forever. And many people argue it started all the way back in the 1980s with Alan Greenspan. You know, when the Fed started to step in, when the market had problems, at any little movement, what they did is they would essentially stop the market from having true price discovery and correcting itself. The markets are very dynamic and correct themselves. But when you start to jump in anytime there's any issues, what you're doing, you're setting yourself up for kind of a bigger forest fire, if you will, right? Anytime if you have a little fire out in the forest, if you put it out right away, what you're doing is you're keeping old trees alive that probably shouldn't be, and then stopping new trees from coming up. And that's what markets do. They get rid of companies that are ineffectively using capital, and then new companies come in more efficient. Or what happens is the companies that are more efficient buy the assets of the companies that aren't very efficient. So, you know, same thing with forest. You know, they clear themselves out, they get rid of the old trees that really shouldn't be there, and the new trees take their place. So when the Fed steps in like this, all they're doing is they're not allowing the forest to clear itself. And in this case, the Fed is really handcuffed here. First off, they've lowered their interest rate extremely low. They don't have a whole lot of ammo in the satchel there. You know, they don't have too many bullets to fire off here when your rates are already at 1.5%. And that can be seen last week when they dropped their rates in an emergency rate cut of 50 basis points and the market lost value. So it started to show that maybe the Fed has no control here, because this isn't an event that is just kind of a normal pullback. It's not something that liquidity is going to boost the market back up, because what we're seeing is an event that's actually going to start to have a serious impact on profits and economic activity. So the Fed really can't do anything with that. And in fact, now that rates are so low, they don't have a whole lot they can do anyway. So that's what is kind of creating this situation. So what do you do? I mean, what do you do as an investor? What do you do with your money? Well, the first thing is you always want to have a plan in place that you can handle the downside. You always need to understand what your portfolio is poised to do in certain bad market environments. And if you can't handle that, then you need to get to an allocation that you can handle. That's the first thing. So a lot of people say, don't make any big moves right now based on what the market's doing. And you don't want to do it based on what the market's doing, but you do want to look and see to make sure that, hey, you've got a portfolio that if we have another 08, you'd be able to ride it out mentally, emotionally. Would you be able to handle it? So you need to understand, what is your allocation right now to equities? So many people have invested in the markets and haven't rebalanced, or they've gone too heavily in stocks because it seemed like it was a no-brainer, or they took extra risk because yields on bonds were very low. Well, if you're sitting in a very heavy equity portfolio right now and your risk tolerance can't handle a 30 to 40% downside, then you probably do need to make a change. Even though the market's been dropping right now, you still need to position yourself to where you could handle it if the market goes down another 20 or 30%. Now, it may not. It may rally up, but trying to guess what the markets are going to do is a futile game. So I would recommend that you really understand what's your downside of your portfolio. And if you can't handle the downside, even after this little turnback, if you still think that the portfolio is too aggressive, if you had another 20% down from here, then you probably need to make a change. You get a little bit more conservative. So get your portfolio in line with your true risk tolerance. We've got a great tool on our website that will pretty quickly show you what your risk tolerance is. And then it allows you to step back in, aggregate your accounts to see exactly what your risk number is. It's a really cool tool. If you have interest in that, just let me know. Another thing that you should be doing right now is looking to refinance your mortgage. Treasury yields have absolutely plummeted. The 10-year treasury, which is what mortgages are based on, has gone below 1%. And, you know, as I'm recording this, it's at 0.5% right now, which is historically low. So you can save some money. You can make some good financial decisions here if you refinance your mortgage. And pretty much anybody is probably at a spot where they should refinance. So look to do that. Another thing that you might want to look to do with the markets coming down a little bit is do a Roth conversion. So if you're somebody who's retired before your required minimum distributions, or if you're in a lower income tax bracket, something like that, this is a great time to do a Roth conversion. If you have a stock position that's now down 15, 20%, why not convert it over to Roth? And as it recoups its losses, hopefully over time, you will have put it into a tax wrapper, the Roth IRA, where you're not going to pay any tax on the gains. So this is a good opportunity to do some Roth conversions. Another thing to look at is start thinking about taxes. It's not a bad idea to take some of your losses for tax purposes. You could take some losses now and buy some similar positions. And then if the market does recover, you'll have some gains with a lower cost basis. So for instance, if you own the S&P 500, the Vanguard S&P 500, you can sell that and move to the Schwab S&P 500 fund. It's a completely different company. So now you take the loss on your Vanguard position. You've got that for tax purposes, but now you've got a lower tax basis for your Schwab position. So it allows you to do some tax planning right now. So again, the big thing, you never want to panic. Panic is always a bad thing. There's never been a situation where panic works out. Now, you just need to realize, though, that, you know, there could be some more downside here just because we had a market that was priced for perfection. And now we have an event that's going to seriously dampen economic growth. And the extent of that is not known, which is what makes it worse, because the markets really hate the unknown. So the big thing is don't panic. Look to take some moves that make sense financially. Again, getting your portfolio in line with your true risk tolerance. Looking to refinance, maybe do some Roth conversions, some tax loss harvesting, some little things you can do, but don't panic. And again, this disease, from everything I'm seeing, for the vast majority of people, there's a good chance you're going to get it. You're going to feel like hell for a couple of days. but you'll get through it. Your body will then build up some antibodies for it so that it's not all that bad. So again, really appreciate you listening to this. I apologize for the quality of the audio. I don't have my microphone with me today, but I wanted to get something out there this week, but I won't be able to do that otherwise. If you have any questions, anything like that, any topics you'd like me to discuss, love to hear from you.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Saving Yourself from Wall Street podcast. I appreciate you stopping in. As always, you can find our podcast along with other articles and videos at savingyourselffromwallstreet.com. And now, the lawyers say hi.
Saving Yourself from Wall Street is hosted by Kirk Kinder. Kirk Kinder is the owner of Picket Fence Financial, a fee-only financial planning firm. Picket Fence Financial is regulated by the states of Maryland and Florida in accordance and in compliance with securities laws and regulations. Picket Fence Financial does not render or offer to render personalized financial or tax advice through the Saving Yourself from Wall Street podcast. The information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial, tax, investment, or legal advice.